This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wal aqibatu lil muttaqeen, wa la udwana illa ala al-zalimeen. Wa ashadu an la ilaha illallah, wahdahu la sharika la, wa ashadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa ashabi, wa man da'a bida'watihi wa stanna bi sunnati, إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليما كثيرا أما بعد All praise are due to Allah, Lord of the worlds. And surely the best reward ultimately is for those who have taqwa. And surely there is no animosity except for the oppressor. And I bear witness that Allah is one and has no partners. And that Muhammad Ibn Abdullah is his servant, his last messenger. May Allah always constantly send peace and blessings to Muhammad, to his family, to his companions, to all those who call to his way, establish his sunnah to the day of judgment. As to what follows, I begin by reminding myself and you of the importance of the consciousness of Allah, that our existence on this earth is ultimately dependent upon the Creator of the heavens and the earth. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed His power, His glory in many different ways. Some that are not visible and some that are visible and right in front of us. Those issues surrounding us, the air that we breathe, the sunlight coming in our atmosphere, we take it for granted. But without these elements, our existence would come to an end. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the understanding to be able to grasp things that are in front of us, parts of creation that have been given to us. Allah has revealed His words, Kalamullah al-Munazzal ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He has revealed the Quran, the last testament. In it, there is knowledge of critical importance. In it, there is wisdom that if we as individuals, that if our communities, if the Muslim world would take it to heart, would deal with this Quran not just as a book, not just as something to recite, but as guidance from the Creator of the heavens and the earth, then we would find, inshallah, an amazing change in our lives. And this book was meant to deal with real issues, to deal with time. And as we pass through time, as we pass through the months of the year, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala measured the Quran, gave us guidance that we could keep ourselves in tune with the universe. We could keep ourselves on the straight path. And in Surah At-Tawbah, verse 36, Allah azza wa jalla has told us, إِنَّ عِدَّةَ الشُّهُورِ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ 12 شَهْرًا فِي كِتَابِ اللَّهِ يَوْمَ خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ مِنْهَا أَرْبَعَةٌ حُرُمٌ ذَلِكَ الدِّينُ الْقَيِّمُ فَلَا تَظْلِمُوا فِيهِنَّ أَنفُسِكُمْ الْآيَةُ. Allah has revealed in Surah At-Tawbah, verily the number of months with Allah is 12 months in a year. So it was ordained when Allah created the heavens and the earth. Of these 12, there are 4 months which are sacred. Arba'atun hurum. They are sacred months. Then Allah said, that is the right religion. So do not wrong yourselves. Do not oppress yourselves. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was reported to have informed his companions that these four sacred months, these months are Dhul Qa'dah, Dhul Hijjah, Muharram, and Rajab. And the sacredness of these months, as reported by Abdullah ibn Abbas, is that it is a special time in which the wrong that we do, the sins that we do, are magnified, they are increased, and the good that we do is also magnified. So it is a time when we have to be aware of what is happening around us. We have to be aware of what we say and what we do. And this is part of the divine balance that Allah Azza wa Jal has made in the year, with Ramadan and then coming Shawwal. It's coming, it's moving, and now we are in Dhul Qa'dah. Alhamdulillah, we have entered into the sacred month of Dhul Qa'dah. And this month is a time, it literally, Dhul Qa'dah is literally the month of sitting. Al-Qa'id is the one who is sitting. It is also the time of settlement. So the sitting is not a negative concept. It does not mean you become lazy. But the sitting here means we drop our political agenda. If there is fighting going on, if there is warfare, you drop the warfare in the sacred months. If there are disputes, arguments between individuals during this sacred month, you drop it. It is a special time, and when we are in balance like this, the balance itself would cure many of the problems that we are having. But the verse also continued and it said, فَلَا تَظْلِمُوا فِيهِنَّ أَنفُسِكُمْ. Allah said, do not oppress yourselves. Do not harm yourselves. Do not cross the limits in dealing with yourself. Dhulm, adam al-dhulm. That dhulm, oppression, should be wiped out. We should focus on oppression and make sure that we are not involved in oppression during this month. Last weekend, I had the opportunity to make Jummah in the Fatih Masjid in Istanbul, Turkey. And Istanbul now is one of the centers, the heartbeat of the Muslim world. So many people, so many movements moving throughout this city. But what we can see is that one of the greatest obstacles in front of the Muslim world, it is not our numbers. We have a huge amount. It is not our wealth. We have some of the richest people on earth. It is not our age. We have young people. We have a strong history. But the issue is, what is our relationship with each other? What do we do with the wealth? What do we do with our youth? And so the issue really is an internal issue. And the new Turkish government, trying in its way to make compromises, trying to give place to people of different movements, different religions, trying to make a balance. But the challenge there, and in all of the Muslim countries, it is a dhulm. It is oppression. And this is the time when we need to start thinking about oppression on different levels. Oppression can be broken into three parts. There is dhulmun bayn al-insan wa bayn rabbi. There is oppression between the human being and his Lord. And this has been described, the worst form of it, as in Surah Al-Luqman, we are told that shirk itself is dhulmun azim. In the shirk la dhulmun azim, as the Quran said, that polytheism, to worship other than Allah, to associate partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to deny the Creator. And this is not just denying the fact that there is a Creator, but denying the fact that the Creator is the key guide to our life. That we submit to the Creator in everything that we do. This is the worst form of oppression. But there is also dhulmun bayn al-insan wa bayn al-nafsi. There's a type of oppression between the human being and himself. That we could become oppressors of ourselves. And this is one of the worst forms. It can happen in our food intake. It can happen in our lifestyle, oppressing ourselves. It can happen in our political setup, in our economics. And this is the one that the Muslim world has to look at. We can no longer blame people on the outside. We have to look inside and analyze what we are doing. And the last, of course, is dhulmun bayn al-insan wa bayn al-nas. And that is oppression between the human being and other people. And oppression is not just to use a whip or a weapon. It is going over the limits. When you go over the limits with another individual, you are oppressing that individual. The worst form, of course, is to oppress that person by taking their life, taking their wealth, taking their honor. But oppression can come in many different ways. And so in this sacred month of Dhul Qa'dah, this is the month of settlements, the month of treaties, making peace. This moves us into the other sacred months. And it is critical because right now in the world, going over the limits or a type of corruption, a facade, is all over the planet. There is corruption in the food that we eat. There is corruption in the water that we drink. There is facade in our political systems, our social systems. Now they are even saying that there's good possibility that the very cell phone that you use can actually be a cause of cancer, a cause of problem in our mind. And to keep the rays of the cell phone away from yourself. What is this? This is going over the limits to make money. The rays were not supposed to come that close to our face. But in going over the limit to make money, the human being commits dhulm, a form of oppression, and we are all suffering underneath this. And so it is a time of making treaties, a time of settlements. And we need to ask ourselves, now that Ramadan is a distant memory, we need to take a type of account of ourselves. How is our iman? How is our faith, which rises and lowers? How is our faith since the month of Ramadan? What is the state of our ibadah? We cannot expect our ibadah to be the same level because there is tarawih, but our desire to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And ibadah is not just making salat. Ibadah is any way that we do things for Allah Azza wa Jal in our life. What is the condition of our limbs after Ramadan? We learn that fasting is not just a physical fast, but a higher level fast was fasting with our eyes, fasting with our tongue, our ears? What is the condition of our eyes? Do we still lower the gaze as we lowered in Ramadan? The fitna, the temptation now with the warm weather and with immorality on the rise, becoming the new norm, immorality, it is a test. Allah gave us Ramadan this year in the heat, in the summer. So part of that fitna was taken away, but now it's gone. So we need to review our eyes. Can we not reboot? Can we not go back to some of the beauty of the month of Ramadan and begin to lower our gaze? Can we begin to go back to the beauty of Ramadan and not allow our eyes to be watching things which are not permissible to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Can we begin to go back to the beauty of Ramadan in this sacred month to control our tongues? A fasting person would think twice before they would swear and say bad words. But now that Ramadan is gone, can we not reboot ourselves? Go back again and think how we can still control our tongues. How we cannot be involved in lying, in scandalizing, in backbiting, in any negative activity that comes from out of the tongue. We have to ask ourselves, what is the condition of our hands? Are we still free as we were in Ramadan giving sadaqah? Did the sadaqah stop? Or can it continue? This is our chance because we are in the sacred months. We are in a time now where we are rising up Dhul-Qa'dah, Dhul-Hijjah. Back up again. That's Allah's blessing to us. So let us take advantage of the blessing to return to the beauty of the month of Ramadan. We have to ask ourselves, what is our relationship with our children? Children, what is your relationship with your parents? Can you be as kind to your father and mother as you were when you were fasting? Can we be as gentle to our children as we were when we were fasting? This is the test, and Allah gave us Dhul-Qa'dah, meaning the time, relax, sit down, analyze yourself. Make peace. And this is a crucial point. If I have done something to another person, if I have an argument, a dispute, this is the month of the settlement of disputes. If there is a war going on, not physical war, there can be a war in between individuals. Stop the war. Call a truce. And that is something that our Muslim world needs. Because the greatest wars that are going on is between factions within the Muslim world. Settlement. How to come to a settlement, which means sometimes we have to agree to disagree. That sometimes there's a difference between us, but we still accept each other as brothers and sisters. But that means controlling our anger, controlling our emotions, and be ready to make peace and to make settlements. And one of the greatest blessings that we learn from fasting is that the higher level of fast is where the person was not only fasting with their tongue or their stomach or their limbs, but the heart of the individual was fasting. That we tried to now see unity between ourselves. That color is not a major difference between human beings. Language is not a major difference between human beings. Your body structure is not a major difference between human beings. Because the reality is, we are all arwah, we are souls. And this body will leave us soon. And what is left is your soul. And there is not an Arab soul and non-Arab soul. There is not a Canadian soul or American soul, Egyptian soul, Pakistani soul. There's not a male soul and a female soul. It is all ruh. And that is from the affairs of our Lord. And so the heart, the very essence of the individual. And I want to leave you with some advice from one of our great scholars and thinkers, Sheikh Al-Hassan Al-Basri, rahimahullah, one of the great minds of the Muslim world. And he talked about the heart, because this is our essence now, and this is the time to start thinking deeper than we thought before. And he said, there are six ways that your heart can become corrupted. This is a deep thinker now. This is not the average thing that you would think. Six. Number one, committing sins with the hope of repentance. What he meant is the person who commits the sin and says, well, I'll commit the sin in Sha'ban because in Ramadan I'm going to get repentance from Allah. So he commits the sin with the concept he can always make tawbah. Allah Kareem, Allah will forgive me. This can corrupt the heart of the individual. If the sin happens, it happens. But we should not be playing around with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number two, seeking knowledge and not applying the knowledge. So he seeks knowledge, she seeks knowledge, they memorize the Quran, they seek knowledge of hadith, but they don't put it into their life. Number three, practicing Islam, practice without ikhlas, without sincerity. We're doing rituals without the sincerity of doing it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ritualistic faith. This can destroy the heart of the individual. Number four, eating the sustenance of Allah without appreciating Him. You eat the risk and you don't appreciate your Lord. You should be thankful every time we drink water. There are Muslims right now who don't have clean water. Think every time you eat food. There are Muslims under the gun right now who don't have it. So appreciate Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for what you and I have. Number five of the ways where the heart can become corrupted: not being pleased with Allah's decrees. The qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when it comes, not being pleased with it, not accepting it. This can destroy the individual from the inside. And number six, burying the dead without learning from them. Making janazah with a person and say, oh, mashallah, that was a very intelligent sister, very intelligent brother. But you didn't learn from them. So we need to take the time, respect each other, especially our elders, and take time to learn from your elders. Take time before it is too late. So alhamdulillah, we are in this month of Dhu'l-Qa'dah. It is the time of settlement, of breaking down disputes. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the blessings of this sacred month of Dhu'l-Qa'dah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to live on to Dhu'l-Hijjah and Muharram. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the sacredness of this month and the whole of the Muslim world. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable the Muslims to make settlement between themselves. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable the Muslim to accept balanced leadership in the Muslim world. And may Allah forgive us for the wrongs that we have done after Ramadan and help us to improve ourselves for the rest of the year. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين من كل ذنب استغفروا إنه هو الغفور الرحيم.